It was another defeat for the Ewes on Saturday, and it all felt rather rudderless. But now there's a monk in the abbey. Does it mean we'll find salvation? Hello, and a very warm welcome to this sermon. I'm Jordan Warland, and I start with an apology to Clodagh. Couldn't quite get your name in there with the abbey reference to make it work. Apologies. Thanks for sponsoring the stage, Jim. Also, I start with another apology for those that were expecting a Monday release of UTAS. I know how much you love those Monday morning hits, but we made a call, and I think we made the right decision by waiting. But I won't apologise to those that wanted a Monday release and an emergency pod as well. That's just greedy. That is just greedy. Right, it's a big day, big announcements, and joining me, I have a panel to help me navigate through it. First up is a man that knows all about the hiring process. No, he doesn't work in recruitment. He runs his own business. It's Matt Caspel. Good evening.
Hello, mate. Lovely stuff. Great intro. Yeah, big fan of that.
You know more about recruitment than our other panelist who works in that industry. Good evening, Tom.
Yeah, thanks for that. Really out of me is the bell end I am, if people didn't already know that. But yeah, that's good. it's up for debate, put it that way.
Tom, are you disappointed in the Gary Monk interview for not dropping 11 cup finals in there as a reference? Or are you going to give him some time and he might do it on the Thursday presser?
On reflection, I will say it's maybe not quite a grave enough situation yet to refer to things as cup finals. I'm sure people that are, you know, fans of the Football Clichés podcast, as I am, you know, we'll probably spend quite a lot of time thinking about this sort of stuff.
Paul Barry said the season starts on Saturday. Is that enough of a cliche? Is that good? We're having that?
Yeah. That ticked the boxes for sure.
I'm fine with that. That's fine. But I'm starting to think that maybe actually 11 cup finals. First is too many. And also, we're probably not in a bad enough situation because realistically, we don't really have to win any of them, do we? We just kind of have to draw all of them. So, and famously, going to cup finals needing to win. So, yeah, maybe I like that outlook for the rest of the season.
Don't need to win any, just draw them all.
Yeah, that'll probably be what Gary Monk says to his players, I should think. First thing Tuesday morning when he meets him, don't worry about it. Just draw all your games. It's fine. Easy.
If you're listening, Paul Barry, well done on both the appointment and also the cliche you got in your statement there. Right, let's talk about it. There's only really one place that we can start this pod. We delayed this pod hoping there'd be an announcement. We got our announcement. I've had to rewrite the running order 3 times today based on various updates or lack of updates on the announcement. But here we are. We've got it. We've got our new man, Gary Monk, back from the wilderness of no work for a few years. Tom, your initial thoughts on the appointment, please.
I think I'm pretty happy with it. I think I am, Jord.
You're letting off a happy aura, which I like.
Yeah. I'm in a relatively happy mood. A much better mood than I have been recording what is technically a review show for many a week.
Tom, there was a point yesterday on Sunday where I thought Caspel's dropped out of doing the pod here. There's no manager announcement in it, and it's another defeat to review, and it's going to be a two-man pod. I was dreading it. It's you know, having last season flashbacks. We didn't get to it in the end.
Yeah, not yet. And I mean, Caspel will attest to the fact I'm in a much better mood than I was the last time I saw him, which was on Saturday night, Saturday evening on the way back from Bolton, in which I spent pretty much the entire journey.
You were pretty buoyant, mate.
Yeah, but I called myself entertained
a fair bit, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I called a lot of our players fannies a lot of times. And I'll probably do that again at some point in the next 45 minutes to an hour or so, I guess. But
your Twitter was okay. I like to check in on your Twitter post game, and you seemed all right. So
yeah, well, like Caspel said, I had much better things on my mind, to be frank.
Maybe it's just the good company on the train, perhaps.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Right, I've got to stop interrupting you.
Yeah, sorry.
Initial thoughts, man.
Do you want to just wrestle it back to what is objectively the big news? Gary Monk. Yeah, I think I'm pretty happy. I will make the admission right now that I've kind of done the mental gymnastics that I did when Harris was appointed, which was when it became clear it was going to be him. Initially, I was a little bit weirdly, just like a little bit underwhelmed, just a touch underwhelmed. I'm not sure why that is. And then since it's been, obvious it was going to be Monk, and we had our own suspicions it was going to be Monk, and since it's been confirmed and I've watched his interview and obviously I had a bit of time to reflect, I've kind of come around to the idea it's actually a pretty good appointment, to be honest. And look, part of that is on his own merit, obviously, which we'll talk about, and part of that is just frankly the fact that I don't think there's loads of really good options out there, certainly not options that were definitely realistic and definitely attainable. But look, he's a manager who has managed 300 odd games, or the thick end of 300 games, mostly in the Championship, some in the Premier League, and some in European football competition. And the fact that there could be any sense of like turning your nose up at that, I think is pretty mental, really. So there's that. But I think, like, and then you start looking at the jobs that he's actually done since he's been managing, and he's mentioned a few of them. Like, they're pretty similar in a way to what he's going to have to do here. Probably harder jobs in the sense of what he's walked into compared to what he's going to have to do. Like at Swansea when he first took that job. Bear in mind that was his first job, and admittedly we're talking like a decade ago now. But I think it still carries some weight. Like, he goes into a relegation threatened team and keeps them up. He did similar things, I believe, at Sheffield Wednesday. And these are things that, like, are good achievements at a much higher level with much bigger clubs than we are. And that's got to be something reassuring. And look, not every fan of every club he's managed has rave reviews about him. But I'll put it to you that if you're hiring a manager who's managed a decent amount of games across five different clubs, how many of them that would come to us would have good reviews from all fans of all clubs that they manage? Probably not many, to be fair, unless we're really plucking somebody from the depths of the football pyramid. So, look, I think it's a positive appointment for the club. I think it speaks volumes about how far we've come as a football club. Because I think if you look at the last two appointments, one being Harrison and obviously this one being Monk, like, they're a significantly higher profile of manager than we would have attracted, let's say, before Mark Bonner came in and did the work that he did. And I think it puts to bed any ideas that we're just this kind of like two-bit tin pot little team sort of competing in a league that we don't really see ourselves in or deserve to be in longer term, because like there's investment that's gone in here from the board. And again, you'd have to look at them and say, I think they've done pretty well. But realistically, I think it all probably just comes down to the fact that, as much as we joke about it earlier on, there's 11 games left and he doesn't really have to like reinvent the wheel or, pull rabbits out of hats to do what will be actually a really good job on paper. I think a point, 1.1, 1.2 points per game keeps us up, and that's all he's got to do. And it sounds like, obviously, there's a lot of things to do along the way there. Of course, there are a lot of hard games and whatnot, but if you're asking me if I think that can he sort of get 14 points out of a group of players who should be better than what they're doing, then I think, yeah, there's every chance.
I really like that point there about how coming into United at this time in the season does kind of tally with some of his past jobs. So Swansea, I think he came in sort of around February, March time, i.e. after the January transfer window kept them up. Maybe you could make the make the excuse that he's like a Swansea man and he was part of the squad already.
It's a Premier League, though, Jordan.
What I was going to say is you can't make that excuse at Birmingham, where he did exactly the same thing. Came in March, I think he was like the fifth manager in like 5 years or something like that. A real basket case. Came in after the transfer window. They were very much in relegation picture and kept them clear. So, yeah, I was going to make the point that, yeah, he's done it beyond the club where, you know, he was a club man, as it were. And yeah, very valid. It's, of course, the Premier League. Haspel, similar first question to you, mate. Initial thoughts on the appointment?
Yeah, I'm pretty pleased with it, to be honest. I think Tom's summed it up pretty well there.
So it's hard to go after a Tomalog, isn't it?
I think one of Tom's points, well,
that's great. That's great, Jordan. You've coined a new word.
A Tomalog. Oh, God.
Take that one.
I did that after the Harris pod that we did, but no one picked up on it. Right, I'm bringing it back.
I was still licking my wounds then at that point, to be fair, so I wasn't taking much notice.
That'd be good for some T-shirts or something with your face on, Walker. let's definitely do
it. How many points in Scrabble is Tomalog? Answers via Twitter.
Jordan, let the man have his say. Did exactly the same.
No, this
with me.
Is great.
It's not really me cutting you off. Now it's everywhere else.
This is perfect. Getting derailed left, right, and centre. Basically, Tom's right. What more can I say? No.
Say it again. Yeah. Say it again.
This is why you don't want me to interrupt him. You want to just unfiltered him blowing smoke up your ass.
Just floundering completely. No, Tom made a really good point. I think mostly. I don't really know what, as Cambridge United, our expectations have gone through the roof in the last couple of years, but particularly it feels like the last even few weeks, sort of new manager speculation. I think the sense that a guy who has managed like a series of pretty big clubs, like some of the biggest clubs in the country, and has managed in the Premiership and finished eighth in the Premiership, isn't a good appointment is just a bit off the wall, to be honest. So yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. I think if you're getting feedback from like 6 years ago from Middlesbrough fans or something, that it might not be the most attractive brand of football. I just think making a big club successful in the Championship is probably like a completely different thing to what he needs to firstly come in and do. 11 cup finals, hey, Tom.
It's like you guys were saying in the mailbag pod, which if you haven't listened to, you should go back to, because it was a real fun listen, apart from the anti-Terry Fleming sentiment from one of you. You prick. Anyway, like you're saying on the pod, on the mailbag pod, it was, you know, the Cambridge way is kind of sort of ugly football, right? So we're not expecting anything more than that.
I just don't care. I think you touched on it. Like, I really don't care. Like, just get the results. And this season, the bar is pretty low, as Tom says. Obviously, just come through a tough run of games. And again, Tom nailed this very well on the pod the other week, but be under no illusion that we had these three games and everyone was like, free hit, you know, we'll get a new manager after that. We don't need to worry about getting any points in that, even though it's like 20% of the season we had left. And now suddenly it's Northampton. It's a massive game. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy with the appointment. It's a big job in terms of what he needs to be doing this week, next few weeks. We've got some seriously important games against, I guess, slightly more winnable games against teams around us, where we know from looking at what everyone else is running, we've got the hardest run in by league table position of the opponents we're playing than anybody else. But Tom's right. Like, the bar is quite low in a sense. A point a game is enough. Get two wins in the next 11 games and just grub your way through the rest and you should be fine. So
let's touch on the elephant in the room there, which is his time out of management. Anyone got any concerns about that?
Do we know what he was doing? I see like webinars or something recently, but like, do we actually have a sense for what he was up to?
I've not been able to find that out.
You want to just speculate about it? We could just speculate, couldn't we?
A news story which was like he was in a candidate for the Sampdoria job, replacing Perlo or someone like that.
You know, if he leaves
didn't
us, leaves us in 4 weeks' time, but he goes to Sampdoria, I'll be like, yeah, all right. Go on, then.
Yeah, it's very much more understandable than going to Bermondsey, isn't it? I think you have to say. To be honest with you, George, not really. Like, this isn't like a Coldwood thing, is it, where he's not managed for like more than a decade? Like, I think the reassuring thing is that, and look, we can take what he says at face value. I think, you know, we don't need to like necessarily dig into it too much. He's mentioned he's had opportunities to go back into the game. And I think if you look at things like Twitter or X, as it's now known, some great stuff on there. Like, you look at like Rotherham fans and George, you were saying that maybe there might have been one or two others as well, where he's actually turned down concrete offers of going back into work. And it kind of validates a lot of what he was saying in his, in his press conference, which was good. Like, there's not loads of content out of it, but I think it came across well, which is basically just like he's just kind of waiting for the right move for him and what he feels is the right move. Now, obviously, when he did what he did with Swansea, there was a possible trajectory of his career which it hasn't taken, which was that he would establish himself potentially as a Premier League football manager. So I don't want to sit here and pretend that if you ask Gary Monk when he left his last job, your next job's gonna be Cambridge United, right, you know, towards the bottom of League One. Would he be happy with that? Probably not, but I think as a football club, we are in a position, fortunately, because of the owners and because of what's been put in place over the last few years, to be able to offer a position which is genuinely an attractive proposition. And I think for Gary Monk, like, you know, he's a reputable enough figure in the game that not only do I look at what he's done and think there's a pedigree there, which is like, he kind of knows what he's doing a little bit, at least, but also the opportunities have been there. So it's not like this guy's just been like scratching around for anything that's coming up. And, you know, he's taken the very first club that have looked twice at him. I don't think it's quite that. There'll be an element of that, and that maybe he hasn't had the interest that he might once have had. But look, again, I think it all goes back to the point of what Cass mentioned a minute ago there. What are we to expect as Cambridge United fans? And I think if there's any part of our fan base which is underwhelmed, and I'm sure there are, and I'm sure there's people who look at this and think, oh, it's a bit of a risky one, or a bit of an unpredictable one, which it maybe is more so than the last guy, in a sense. Hopefully it doesn't turn out that way. But I guess people would have looked at the immediate list of people that were there when Harris left. You're thinking like Duff or Rowett, and just tunnel vision on them too. But I'd put it to you again that I don't think that just because the manager's out of work and available, that means that they're definitely interested. And I think that the last couple of weeks have proven that. And I think what Gary Monk said himself has proven that. He's been out of work for a little while and he's turned down jobs himself. So it doesn't worry me, to be honest, that he's not worked for a little while. I think there's a good enough squad of players to work there to do what we need to do. And I think he's a good enough manager to do it. It's just a case of having a big week on the grass, I guess. Big week on the grass.
Yeah. There it is. Tom, what I'm taking from that is that you really rate managers that turn down the Rotherham job.
Yeah, of course, at the time.
Matt, the Paul Barry quote, we mentioned it at the top of the show. Clichés aside, what was your thoughts on, what Paul Barry was saying, which basically went along the lines of a thorough process, three separate interviews with the owners and senior staff across the club, where he emerges our unanimous choice.
Bit sus, isn't it? No, I'm only saying that because Gary Monk also said in his interview today that it all happened really fast at the end of last week, over the weekend, and then today. I guess he could squeeze... I don't know. I mean, I'm no recruitment expert, hey, Tom, but I guess you could squeeze a whole recruitment process into like a 4 or 5 day window, right? 3 days? I don't know.
Depends how good the agent is in the middle, I think.
Is that right? interesting. They're bound to say stuff like this, right? I mean, there's simply you have to unanimously be behind the guy that you're hiring anyway, irrespective of what might have happened.
I will count like that's why I'm saying that I think there's a real lack in football of just genuinely honest interviews. And it'd be great sometimes just to hear someone come out and say, do you know what? It's probably our third or fourth choice, but we've got him and we're as happy as I guess we can be with that. It's like when Lyle Taylor signed for us. He was like, I'm genuinely delighted to be here. And he's going to say, so this wasn't where I thought I was going to be when I signed for Nottingham Forest.
It's an interesting point though, around like the honesty bit, because I wonder if he was in for the job at the time that Harris got it. And I wonder if there's anything there about, being interviewed again or not getting the first round.
This is all I wonder is, like, whilst Monk has said in his stuff today, like, it's all happened very fast over the weekend, basically, in the end of last week. Have they spoken to him already? Like, did they speak to him months ago? I think that's a fair point. Did they chat to him 2 weeks, whenever Harris left 2 weeks ago? Did they have, like, a little initial conversations, like, Ben Strang phones a few people or speaks with their agent, even doesn't even speak to them direct, and then eventually it sort of moves along. Like, I think we don't know enough probably about the actual process of what goes on and how it all comes to pass, if you know what I mean.
One of the things, Matt, that that Gary Monk did say today in his interview is he talked really highly of the ownership model. I don't know if that was like a nod to some of the other clubs that he's been a part of recently, but the stability, and he said this progression at a realistic pace. I thought that was a really interesting quote.
Yeah, I guess he's been involved in some pretty volatile ownership clubs on his CV, managerial, definitely. I guess for him, it's like a security thing, right? So we know he's from Bedford, so he's sort of semi-local. It's probably reasonable to assume he might have some family in and around Cambridgeshire. Obviously for him, I mean, Tom covered it well, but I don't think he'll have been dreaming of a move to Cambridge and trying to engineer this for a long period of time, if you know what I mean. From a career perspective, he has to look at this and think, this is like it is a stepping stone. Hopefully it's more mutually beneficial than the Neil Harris stepping stone, is what I would say. So like to think that he's here, certainly to see out his contract, if he can stabilise us, keep us in League One, help us build a very good bridge across to this big redevelopment we've got coming, which in sort of club history terms now feels like the next major milestone for us, unless we do somehow I don't know, getting the playoffs at some point in the next few years. It feels more realistic than being a mid-table, steady League One club with, you know, 6,500 attendances, average attendance, which is unheard of. Like, honestly, this is one of the, it is a bit, I know we've had loads of this and we're starting to move past it now, but we are still also still 10 years or so only off, like, playing Alfreton in front of 2,000 fans at the Abbey. And we have just hired a manager who took a team to a top half finish in the Premiership. So I'm looking forward to the day when we can bury all those, like, oh, we played Tamworth, like, just, you know, 10 years ago. I'm looking forward to that all being consigned to history. But it is, I guess, important to realise how far we've come along. So,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, hopefully for him, he gets the stability that he wants. Hopefully he earns it. He's obviously got to keep us in League One this season. But then much harder, I think, keep us in League One next season when we will be surrounded by Wrexham, Stockport, Mansfield. Like, it's going to be harder next year than it is this year, so we need it.
Well, add into the harder next year idea is the fact that plans for next season probably would have started weeks and months ago for most clubs, looking at and offering contracts to people, extensions, thinking about who they're going to target in the summer. And, you know, I'm not saying that we wouldn't have done that, but if you're changing your head coach during that process, it's obviously going to have an impact. So yeah, well, let's get to the summer first, hey?
We've got to shed a few strikers because we can't start the season with four or five. We've got to start with a maximum of three, but preferably two.
Ideally, one, at least one has to be severely injury prone as well.
Yes, that's it.
Tom, earlier today, before the announcement, you said in our WhatsApp group that you were less bothered about who and more about when. And I was intrigued by this. And I just wondered, like, from your perspective, is it just a case that, like, we've really looked like a side over the last week or so that's been lacking in sort of direction and management? And it was important to just get someone in ASAP this week.
Anyone. He was literally saying anyone.
Literally anybody.
I understood the point you were making, Tom.
And doesn't the mind start to wander when you think about that? Yeah, you can really start running a million miles with that. I think I know we're going to come on to talk about Barry Coren and obviously Kevin Betsy as well, but particularly Coren and obviously what he's done and sort of, I guess, been through personally as well over the last couple of weeks. So it must have been a real hectic ride. But I think when you watch his interview after the Bolton game, you can tell there's a guy there who's just a bit done with the situation. He's like, it's not my job anymore. It's not my problem. I get that he's still around and he'll still be contributing and stuff, but you can tell the kind of weight of the situation was just a little bit too much for Core at this moment in time. And, it kind of became a feeling like I think I had going into the January window when obviously all the chat was on strikers, and it felt like the Oxford game was one of them. And then obviously we were due to play Stevenage and we played Orient and then Blackburn. It was just like, we're not going to get any points until a striker's in the door. That's just the way it is. And obviously we signed Lyle Taylor and obviously what's happened since has happened since. And it kind of started to feel like that a bit to me with the managerial situation. Like, don't really matter who the opposition is. There's just this air of like, it's a bit hopeless until somebody can come in and just a bit of stability, is obviously important. And I'm not really sure stability is the most important word, just because I think there was some chat and some suggestions that maybe just a solution to the end of the season might have been something that could have been useful. So I'm not really sure it's stability. It's more just like a bit of kind of direction or a bit of confirmation over basically what the strategy is going to be, you know, and just have someone who can kind of direct it. Or it felt like Core was, well, as job title, I guess, suggests, he was very much into him and it did feel like it was that. He was just kind of holding the fort until the next guy comes in. So, you know, when you lose four on the bounce and you don't score a goal in that time and, you're looking ahead to a run of games, which are difficult, but maybe not as difficult as the games we've just played, you're thinking you've got to give yourself the best possible chance of getting points out of these four and obviously starting with Saturday. And I think that was only ever going to be the case with a new manager in. Obviously that remains to be seen. We might still be terrible. We might still not score any goals. We might still lose every game that we play. But think it's fair to say that I feel a little bit more confident now that that's not going to be the case with a manager there. And I think, you know, the point that I was making was that I think I looked through the list. I think there was a lot of options there that would have been okay. I wouldn't have been delighted with all of them, but just having someone in place, I think, is really important for this upcoming period, and that we'll see how it goes. But I think it's a pretty good solution that we found ourselves.
Matt, what's your take on the whole Core and Betsy time in charge, which doesn't seem that long in terms of days, but in terms of games, like Tom said, there was three there. Do you think there's any conclusions that we can make from their interim period?
Felt like a lifetime, mate, to be honest. that's no slight on them. I think, I guess what's slightly unusual about it is normally in these situations, an interim is put in charge. And there's like quite a strong sense that if they do a good job, they may well be appointed. But it seemed mm-hmm. very clear from the outset that wasn't going to be the case. And it was like every time Barry Core spoke about it, it was like, not ready, don't want it. Sort of almost not interested, like need to do my badges, which, you know, we all know a thing or two about. It's not that I want the speculation of like people thinking Barry Core might be lined up to be next and there's a chance that he would take the job on full time. But I do think it kind of operated against us a bit to have those three really hard games and for it to be so clear to the players and to even the fans, these two will not take charge. I'm not saying it would have altered the outcome, but it did just feel like we have laid down for those three games, not as players, like we have just been done by better teams as well. But it just, the whole mood post Harris, pre Monk has just not been great. So I don't know that's really a reflection on Core and Betsy, but I don't really know what the alternative to suggest actually would be, but it's just, I don't know. I'm stressed because we've just laid down these three games basically points wise and taken us from a position of like relative safety or what felt like relative safety after Carlisle. And suddenly it feels like a lot of jeopardy and we've got some very, very big games coming up over the next sort of 10 days.
I guess there's something in sort of saying not letting Harris bring in his own backroom staff, his own assistants, made him leaving a little bit sort of easier on the squad because Core and Betsy have been there. But then I guess the flip side is it a bit of a blocker saying that you can't bring your assistants in and so forth? And Tom, I want to get your thoughts on this topic, which I guess is really around sort of the structuring of the coaching staff there. And we've had a ton of questions come in on Twitter about this, but I think the one I'm going to go with is from Mark Tomlin. So that's Mark Tomlin, not Bonner, in case you're wondering. It basically asks, does the whole structure need looking at? If the rumours are true that it's stopped us from making a decent appointment, I get the need for continuity, but to tell a new man that you have to keep three coaches already in place seems to push people away. What's your take on that, Tom?
I think there's a couple of ways of looking at it. The first is I would maybe dispute at the start, like right at the outset of it all, like, has it stopped us from making a good appointment? Because I think we've actually made two pretty good appointments this season by keeping the same backroom staff, one in Harris, who, you know, of all the stuff we said about the way that he left the club, I don't think anyone can deny that he felt like a good fit at the time. And, you know, even despite maybe some slightly friendlier games, delivered pretty much the sort of results that we would hopefully expect in the next coach. And then obviously Gary Monk comes in, and we've obviously just talked about what we believe of him and what we believe he can bring to the club. So there is that. I get the sense that maybe there are managers that we might have got if we were prepared to rip things up and start again, and basically allow managers to bring in their own assistant. And I think it's a fair comment that a lot of good managers want to bring their own people with them. Like, see it all the time, like at pretty much every level. It's not even just like a top level thing that we're just trying to emulate. Like, it happens up and down the pyramid. And if you look back to the summer ourselves, like, we allowed Bonner to pick and choose his own assistant. So why wouldn't you allow an incoming new manager to do it? So I understand all of that. And I guess what people maybe would look at is, all right, we seem to have kind of groomed Core to be like, at some point in the future, our next manager. Well, is sticking to that strategy blindly or seemingly blindly? I'm sure there's some strategy behind it, but is sticking to that, come what may, is that a sensible strategy over just getting in the best person for the job now? And I guess what, you know, the assumption is made, and there's no confirmation of this, so it is all just kind of speculation, I guess, but The assumption is made that it's like you could have gone out and got Duff or Rowett if you allowed them to bring in their own assistant, whereas actually that limits us in terms of going out and getting who are well, probably the best managers on the market. And that's an assumption that we make, and there's probably something in that, but I don't believe that'd be the whole picture. So, the structure, I guess, something that's continually looked at, hopefully, you'd like to think, you know, whether it's working or not, are there ways that we can continue to improve it, continue to evolve it? That's what we kind of did in the summer a little bit when obviously Waddock left the club and Kevin Betsy came in. Obviously, we've been forced into a couple of quite significant changes, whether it's through form or someone up and leaving. I think there's a time and a place to talk about structure. I'm not sure now is it, to be honest, because I think that'll come in the summer when you know what's happened and you know what you're dealing with going into next season. And I think there is certainly a time and place to speak about that, because I think certain things, certain trends, certain mistakes have repeated themselves. I'm not sure that's necessarily relating to the backroom staff behind the manager. I think it's more above that level. But I think I'd round all that off by just saying what I said right at the start. Like, I would dispute the fact, the idea, I'll dispute that idea that not allowing someone to bring in their own assistant has stopped us from making a good appointment, because I think we made a pretty decent one.
I look forward to that summer pod, Tom, talking about all the things that have gone wrong in the structure. Gonna enjoy that one. That's gonna be jolly. Matt, we've had loads of questions come in about, you know, both before and after the announcement about what Gary Monk is going to have to do and immediate challenges and things like that. Steve's question is one that I liked. I thought I'd get your opinion on this. He asked, where's the spark going to come from? Last year we had Sam Smith, who obviously went on that mad run with scoring, but you also had Joey and Nibs, and they all worked hard. Dunk came back and there was a lift. And Steve's saying that even with a new manager, it doesn't seem like there's too much bounce. What's your thoughts on the spark there? And is it as simple as saying Lyle Taylor's back on Saturday?
Well, Donkey's coming back too, mate. So, yeah, I mean, I sort of see where Steve's coming from, but also not quite this time, but certainly around this point last season where it was feeling all pretty forlorn and hopeless. You'd have asked the same question, right? I think we were asking the same question, like, how are we going to get out of this? Where's the spark going to come from? It didn't feel like we were going to turn a corner at all. And then we did, right? So it's just, yes, Sam Smith started firing, but why can't Lyle Taylor come back into the side and do exactly that? When Lyle Taylor's been playing the last few weeks, he elevates the people around him. Kachunga's looked stronger. Lancaster's looked a hell of a lot stronger. Kai Kai's looked absolutely brilliant when Lyle Taylor's around as well. So it's not even necessarily just directly about Lyle Taylor. I think it's about having an actual focal point to our attacking play that has been very severely missed over these last three games without him. So where's the spark going to come from? Yeah, bit of Lyle Taylor, I think. I mean, he obviously has a bit of charisma as well. He seems to have that kind of ability to lift the players around him and lift the fan base as well. So you know there's going to be a good atmosphere. If Lyle Taylor's on good form, then, you know, there's no reason to believe that things can't start turning around for us. And, you know, where you've got Joey and Nibs worked hard here, that can be Kai Kai and Lank or Kachunga or, you know, just insert name here. Dunk is coming back, so, you know, put some respect on him. Maybe even Brandon Housedrop will turn up, I don't know.
Oh, that's what I like. That's it. That's the shout.
I mean, this whole idea that Monk doesn't have a lot to work with, I just don't think is correct. I just think we're like an average or decent, if you want to be more upbeat. We are a decent League One squad. The other stuff we've got as well, I mean, to be honest, like Ahabmi, I know we're probably a few weeks away, but Ahabmi's supposed to be coming back fit. Fajiri's supposed to be coming back fit. There is quite a lot. There's quite a lot personnel wise that we have to look forward to still. But yeah, you get the sense it might be Lyle Taylor coming back. Hopefully he's going to have the biggest impact of all. So if he comes back and can get himself a goal on Saturday, then he might just go flying and go on a sort of similar run that Sam Smith did this time last year as well.
So we put a tweet out earlier around the announcement, seeing what people's thoughts were, and the replies tend to be pretty positive. A few things that I'm going to call out here is Liam's mentioned that he knows some of the players, so he thinks that will be a bonus. Would you agree with that? I mean, obviously he had Morrison as his captain at Birmingham. Do you think there's legs in that, having sort of persons in the dressing room that you've worked with before?
I think football's a pretty small world. I think a lot of people know a lot of people, right? And I'm not sure I'd put loads of weight on that. Like, I think Neil Harris knew a few of the guys before he came in as well. So I don't think there's any guarantee of success, to be honest with you. But, you know, it probably doesn't hurt to have a little bit of familiarity. I think you mentioned Morrison was obviously he was at Birmingham with, and I guess Kachunga would have been with him at Sheffield Wednesday. So there's a couple of little links there, but it's not like he's coming into a squad that he's played, you know, he's managed like 70% of before. So I don't think it's going to be like, you know, get the band back together sort of thing. I think it's just going to be a little bit of familiarity that might help him. But if I'm really honest with you, I'd probably almost go the other way with it. And I'd say actually what this squad's needed based on what I've seen over the last few games is a totally fresh set of eyes on things and someone to really kind of put a bit of a rocket up the arse collectively. And hopefully Gary Monk can do a little bit of that.
Had a few questions about his style of play. I don't feel confident answering that. Does anyone feel like they know enough about his history and sort of
I just don't really care.
Happen with every manager. Yeah. Firstly, I don't care, like we said earlier. But secondly, I think whoever we would have hired, like if we'd have hired Rowett or Duff, Ainsworth, whatever, someone somewhere would have said, yeah, shit football. Like, do you know what I mean? It just is when managers leave clubs, it's pretty rare the fan bases they leave behind are like overly complimentary. You know, look at Neil Harris, for example.
But who cares? No, I wouldn't who cares?
Like, but also, firstly, who cares?
20th like, in League secondly, One. Like, we're 20th in League One. Like, we're not going to start playing, like, you know, like the tiki-taka style football that you associate with Barcelona of 2008, are we? We're
also way out of trouble.
We're not suddenly going to, you know, turn into this, like, 80% possession every week sort of team that, you know, kind of kill you with quality. Like, we're going to get out of this by a little bit of grit, a little bit of determination, making it difficult for our opposition, and just try not to lose as many games as we have done recently. It's as simple as that. And the style of football, I think, that comes with it is actually pretty irrelevant. Like, I get it if it's a case over like a 3 or 4 year period, like we saw someone like Sean Derry, where, you know, you're consistently putting players in front of them that you feel should be able to get results and ideally something resembling a nice style of play too, which I think was the case. And that's why someone like him got a lot of criticism. But like, we're 20th in League One. Like, let's not expect everything at once. Like, that will come as we establish ourselves as a League One club, like the ability to maybe play slightly more attractive football, be a slightly more progressive football inside. But for now, it's just get over the line. That's it. That's all that matters. How it comes, I don't really think should be anyone's concern.
So most of the replies have been positive. There was one that mentions that they're nervous. So I wanted to check on you both. How are your nerves going into this sort of final, what is it, 11, 12 games left?
I'm feeling pretty shaky, to be honest. just think it's the last few games. And just always getting closer to the hash line gives you the willies anyway. There's a couple of fixtures obviously coming out tonight in release term days, so Tuesday night, which we're not involved in either. So another opportunity for people to make ground on us. And also I think, again, Tom articulated it really well on the pod the other day. This weird sense that we seem to have collectively adopted that now the hard games are out of the way. We're going to play Northampton and Lincoln and they're easier, which they are, I guess, but it's all hard in League One. Like, those are two really tricky fixtures against teams who are like very solidly mid-table, like not a mile off the playoffs. I'm feeling a bit wobbly.
Even playing like a team below us, we've got to play Charlton, who obviously like flying at the moment.
Yeah, it's just one of those. I mean, that's an opportunity though, isn't it? My hope with Charlton, I think I was saying at the weekend, is they do really well from here and they're just on the beach by the time we play them, to be honest. It's kind of what I'm hoping for or maybe expecting. I think we've just got to see. I think the version of Lyle Taylor we get back after this suspension and then the lift and the bounce that we are hoping that Gary Monk is able to produce, I think we all know a lot. I'll say even 10 minutes into the Northampton game, we're going to have a sense for like what might happen over those run of games. And I know that's a very short-term window to think about it, but just think like collectively, fan base players need to be on it. Fan base needs to be up for it. Like, Saturday is one of the biggest games we've had since we came back into League One, in my opinion, because we just need to, it could just look very ominous at the end of Saturday, to be honest. And certainly by Tuesday night, if things don't go well, the league table could suddenly look pretty testing, I would say.
Guys, we've been going for 40 minutes and we've not touched on Bolton in this review show pod.
Yeah, we'll just skip it.
I feel good not talking too much about Bolton, but there is one big question I have to ask. Tom, how are the toilets?
Yeah, fine. Thanks.
On a scale of one to Pompey.
No, Pompey's were right up there. Yeah. Yeah, they were special.
Don't think it's worth dwelling too much on the game, but just want to talk about the first goal that we conceded. That was pretty disappointing, right? Given that we had something very similar a couple of weeks ago, where just you give Sheenan enough time, and he sort of tears you apart there.
Yeah, I just think the way we actually looked okay, like the way we'd set up for the game was actually all right, and apart from the attacking third. So it's a very similar problem that we've had in the last few weeks. I thought like defensive structure actually looked all right, but if you can't retain the ball and keep giving it back to Bolton, eventually they're going to make the pressure tell. All I will say in our favour is we went without conceding like 30 or 35 minutes or whatever it was. It did start to get quite fun from a fan base away in perspective, because Bolton obviously had hit the bar and then they started to look like they were losing the plot a bit, wilting a bit under pressure and starting to sort of just pass the ball off the side of the pitch, end of the pitch, and we were having a bit of a laugh with it. But obviously it's pretty inevitable what was going to happen. So I would say as a fan base, we really solidly enjoyed about a 10-minute period right up before they scored the goal. And then it felt a bit like game over, to be honest. As soon as they'd scored, it felt like, right, that's it.
Right then. I think that's enough on Bolton, unless you've got any other burning hot takes.
Liam Bennett did a really good goal line block, like actually world class. Obviously it's kind of all in vain, but it was a proper like you have no right to stop that ball. I think that's it really. James Brophy can't finish with his right foot or his left.
There was a point where it was shaping up for a half volley, and I was like, imagine this going in, and the scenes and the tweets are if that goes in, and then it flew absolutely nowhere near. And
wonder what fleeting goes through his head. I wonder if he thinks, imagine if this goes in. Or if he's just like, nah.
Yeah, that'd be unbelievable, wouldn't it? This one cracks in the top corner. No, yeah, I didn't think so. Yeah, not loads more to say on Bolton, to be fair.
I think they'll go up.
Yeah, why not? Although
I don't think they're as good as Pompey or Peterborough, dare I say it. Based on what we've seen,
Derby, even though Derby wobbled a little bit, I just feel like, I don't know, the weird thing about Bolton is that even though like results I think have been pretty good for them, they're obviously pretty well, you know, sitting fairly pretty in the league, like feels like they're a little bit unhappy with how things are going there. Like I've seen Everett's been a little bit restless, and this is kind of almost what makes it more frustrating that we've lost two games against them in the way that we have, because I feel like if ever you're going to play Bolton twice in such a short space of time, do it now. Like, even if things haven't been great on our side, like, it's probably the opportunity to get something from them, I guess. I don't know if they'll go up, to be honest. I'm not really looking that high up the table, to be honest.
Not yet, at least.
No. Do you know what, George? I was going to ask you that, because there's been a lot of people asking, is Gary Monk going to be the man to save us from relegation and obviously ensure a fourth season in League One? Well, I'll put it to you, George. You might tell me that we're 4 points above the relegation zone, having played a game more than those below us. I'd say to you, we're only 22 points off the playoffs.
Brilliant stuff. Tom, I'm pretty sure it's you and I again on Thursday for the preview of the Northampton game. So we'll have a full first presser from Gary Monk to tuck into. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am. I'm interested to hear what he has to say. I'm interested to hear what his take is. And I'm just really excited to talk about Lyle Taylor playing football again.
Tom, I'll see you Thursday. Matt, thanks for your time.
No problem, mate.
As always, thanks for listening, everyone. We will be back, Thursday evening with the Northampton Preview Pod.